Tell your neighbor the kingdom of heaven is a net filled with all kinds of fish. Tell him it's country western fish, bluegrass fish, all kinds of fish. Praise God. And God somehow puts it all together and keeps it together. Are you enjoying living for God tonight? Praise God. Praise God. We're going to continue in Ecclesiastes for a bit tonight. And we'll take a text in chapter 3 and begin in verse 1. And we talked about Solomon the cynic this morning and how that by his wisdom he was losing sight of God. And somehow, Stephen, David didn't make the transfer, or Solomon didn't make the pickup on the transfer. But by the end of his life, he had corrupted himself and all of Israel. And he said, it's all just meaningless. Praise God. Chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. This is an awareness of life and the seasons of life. And the fact that all seasons come to all people. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. Solomon said, I found that time and chance happen to every man. Seven, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of peace. Praise God. Let's, as you're seated tonight, let's give God thanks for his word. And praise him. Let's give him high praise for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We magnify you, Lord. We lift you up, O God. How wonderful are your ways. We praise you for your word tonight, forever settled in the heavens. Ah, there's such a pulse of the Holy Ghost in this house and abiding with this word tonight. Lord God, we give you all praise and we magnify your name. Praise God. Listen to me, if you're in this house without the Holy Ghost, it's the will of God for you to leave this place filled up with the Spirit. You may not know about it, you may not understand it, but God has a gift for you. If you're here tonight and you need God to answer a question, to move on a prayer, this is a night where the moving of the Spirit is fruitful in this house, and God's able to touch your life. The portal is open here tonight. Well, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. The wisest man in the world, and he goes through this poetic litany. And the older you are, the more poignant this reading is for you. I can't read this without hearing a 12-string guitar and 60s music. I just hear that. And they sang this directly out of the scripture. And the older you get, the more touching, the more sentiment is attached to it. A time to be born and a time to die, and you've been down to the graveyard a few times. Time to plant and a time to pluck up and on through. And you know that every funeral you've ever been to, there's a new baby there, almost always. And you see this cyclical process. progression of life. You see it moving in and through your life, and it's woven into everything, and all the bitter things have enough sweet attached to them that life is both good and bad. It's sweet and it's bitter. It's hard and it's wonderful all at the same time. And the wise man is dealing with this, and he does it in a very powerful and a very effective way. He's talking about, as we read this morning, he's a master in all natural process. He understands nature. The Bible talks about the fact that he has great understanding about all the creation of God, trees and plants and animals and the creatures in the sea and all of those things. Solomon has a great deal of wisdom. God breathed that wisdom down into his life and gave him great knowledge and great wisdom. And here again, he's talking about the natural process of time and the way that life weaves itself in and out of our lives. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, if we could talk to Solomon tonight, if we could get him in an interview in this house, you might get an answer to some questions, and you might have a few for him, but I think it would be inescapable after having talked to Solomon about all of the knowledge and all of the wisdom and all the power and all his frustration and his growing cynicism and what we quoted this morning. He said, "I hate my life," and he's got what everybody in this world is seeking after. He's attained it. He's already gotten there. And he says, "I hate this because I can't find the purpose of God in the midst of it all." And you know, he wants to instruct us about all these natural things and the inevitability of all of these things and the futility. He said, "It's just meaningless. It's just meaningless. Try to enjoy your little portion today. Enjoy your work of your hands. Enjoy the food on your plate. Enjoy your family, because you just need to eat, drink, and be merry, because you're going to die." And that's his admonition to us. But you know, It's like if you could get him to talk about his dad, if you could get him to open up and begin to talk about David, he would probably get a little quizzical look on his face. And he's just told you all about the processes of nature and about the time and about how it all works and how you fit into it and all of that. But when he got to talking about David, you would probably see a little change come over him, because he'd have to say, "You know, my dad, my old man David, he was just a different kind of guy. Everything in life is woven into the time and the process of God, and the seasons repetitively, and life, and years, and months, and days, and all of that." But if Solomon were able to talk to you tonight, he would have said, "You know, my old man, he lived in his own time zone. He just didn't seem to be affected and trapped or locked in to the things that impose themselves on ordinary mortals that lived around him." Because we read in that story, if Solomon were telling you about his dad, he would tell you that there was a time when Israel was in trouble, and the old man Samuel came down with a horn of oil in his hand, and he disdained and passed by all of the grown men and all of the seasoned warriors. And he said, "Do you have another son, Jesse?" And he said, "Well, yeah, I do, but he's just a lad." And in saying so, he said, "I didn't even bring him up because I don't think it's time for him yet. I didn't bring him up because he's just a boy. He's not tall like his brothers. He's not educated in war like his brothers. He's not seasoned as a man like his brothers." But Samuel said, "Go get him, because the Holy Ghost said he's the one." And when he brought him into the circle, he poured the horn of oil upon his head, and the anointing of God came down upon David. And David at that moment became the prophet, and he became the king, and he became the anointed of God that would be the beginning of the throne of Christ. when he was just a lad. Everybody say, just a lad. He would not fulfill the expectations of men around him. He didn't fit the template of the passing of time. He broke the mold and the sequence that all of life should pass through. I'm telling you again, Solomon was hung up on these things. But if he had talked about David, he would have said, you know, there's something about David. He just didn't fit in to all of these sequential things that I'm telling you about. It seemed like David just lived in his own time zone. He was just a lad. Everybody say, just a lad. I want all the young people in the house to stand up. Now, that's a relative thing, isn't it? Antoine, go get a bunch of those Bible studies in a bag. Praise God. Praise God. Now, you got to wait. Sweetheart, you got to wait until you get old before you can make an impact on your world. You're going to have to wait for a few years until you get old enough and wise enough before you can make an impact on your world. We're going to keep you sheltered. We're going to keep you boxed up here so that you can't get out and get hurt. You understand? But when you get old and when you get wise, then you'll be able to make an impact on your world. If you're a young person standing, give your neighbor a high five and say, David was just a lad. Say, God has his own time zone. Oh, no, somebody say, God's got his own time zone. And God can use the old, but God can use the very young. God can use those with experience, and God can breathe on those who have yet to have any experience. Praise God. Raise your hand if you want to give a Bible study in a bag to somebody on the job or somebody in the school tomorrow. Well, praise God. You say, what are you doing? I'm just telling you. It doesn't have to be a card-carrying preacher. It doesn't have to be somebody that you recognize. I'm telling you, you know what? I'm expecting revival. I'm expecting a move of God. I'm expecting 100-soul revival in this altar. I'm expecting Bible studies more than we're able to handle. I'm expecting the gifts of the Spirit. And I don't care where they come from. I don't care who pulls the trigger on it. And I'll tell you this. Oh, you didn't bring enough? Some of them are Spanish. Martin, we got some Spanish ones. Uno estudia Biblia en un bolso. Para usted y sus amigos. Y tú también, David. Praise God. When Saul talked to David, here's one back here. When Saul talked to David, Saul said, this is a man of war from his youth, and you are just a lad. You're just a boy. You can't take on this giant. There has to be the sequential process of time, the maturing and the growing and the time spent and the experience won. And I love the natural sequence, and I believe in maturing, and I know the value of experience. And Paul said, lay your hands on no man suddenly. We're not going to send you off into places that you're ill-equipped to stand in. But I am telling you this, God lives in his own time zone, and this is the time for which you've come into the kingdom, and there is no limitation on what God can do if he finds a hungry heart. Somebody say praise the Lord. Everybody in this house, tell somebody by you, God can use you. God has a gift for you. God has an anointing to pour out on you. Well, somebody say praise the Lord. Now the devil would say it's not time, and the world would say it's not time, and some around you might say you hadn't been here long enough, but I'll tell you, God lives in his own time zone. And I got a question for you. If not now, that's the answer. That's the answer. How many of you believe we're going to have revival? When? How many are you going to win somebody to God? When? When? How many of you are going to be a prayer warrior? When? Will you do a work for God? But when? I'm all about equipping you, and I'm all about teaching you, and I want to give you every tool, and I want to equip you to do the work of the ministry so that the body will be edified and God will get glory. But right now is the only time on my plate. Right now. And don't worry about Africa, and don't worry about Asia, and don't worry about some far-flung place. The will of God is right now to do what you know right now, to be what God's called you to be right now. Well, praise God. I'll clap your hands into it. Shout right now. Come on, God lives in his own time zone. Solomon, the natural man, wants to tell you it takes a process of time. You're just going to have to wait. We may not have time. We may not have time. Iran is getting the nuke. Syria is trying to get a nuke. Pakistan is in jeopardy, and they already have a nuke. We may not have time. China's building the biggest war machine the world has ever seen. Woo! It's all exciting. When God showed Nebuchadnezzar, and then by Daniel showed him the interpretation of it, he showed him the progression of kingdoms. Head of gold, chest of silver, belly and thighs of brass, legs of iron, feet of iron and clay. And what he was showing him was the progression of mighty kingdoms, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, and then Rome. And Rome is yet in force today. And he said, you watched until a stone was cut out of the mountain without hands. Without hands being a spiritual implication. A stone that was spiritually cut out of the mountain. And you watched until that stone came and smote that image on his feet. That image was the linear progression of all man's time and man's kingdoms. All the cumulative knowledge and kingdom building of mankind. And that stone came and struck that image at his feet, at his base. And the Bible said that you watched that image fall, and it was destroyed, and it was like dust, and it was blown away like chaff on the summer threshing floor. God just said all the kingdoms of the world are coming down. And he also said that when the Christ comes, and that's who that stone is, he's not going to wait his turn. He's not going to come like the world thinks the process ought to go. He won't come and fit into their kingdom building. I'm just telling you right now, the kingdom of God is not going to be an outgrowth of what men have built on this earth. The kingdom of God is not going to be some merging of political and ecumenical forces. The kingdom of God is not going to be a political organizational entity, but it's going to be a stone cut out of the mountain without hands, and it will come on its own time because God has his own time zone. Somebody say praise the Lord. To give you a little instance, we talked about the day of Pentecost today, and that moment when the Holy Ghost first was poured out. Everybody say suddenly. The Holy Ghost came suddenly. It was unexpected by those that even were there receiving it. They didn't know what it was, but God just moved on them suddenly. A lot of folks don't like things that move on them suddenly. They want some time. They want a little time to get ready. They want a little preparation time. But let me tell you, if you'll throw up your hands in this service tonight and just begin to cry out to God and worship God, suddenly God will give you the Holy Ghost. Suddenly God will begin to move on your situation. Suddenly God will begin to actualize his word in your life. Praise God. Not by your time, not by the world's time, but God lives in his own time zone. When he takes down the giant, he's too young, but the giant comes down anyway because God is on his side. Somebody say praise the Lord. When he was running from it for his life from Saul, he goes into the temple and he eats the showbread that was only for the priesthood, and it wasn't supposed to be for David or anybody else. But David had such wonderful access to God through prayer and through praise that he walked into the holy place and he ate of the showbread. It would have killed any other man, but David had an open access because David, by virtue of his connection with God, had his own time zone. Well, praise God. The Ecclesiastes is a recitation of all of the systems and the time frames and the processes of life and the cynicism of the natural man. Just hold on, son. It's not time yet. Just hold on, sweetheart. It's not time yet for you. Oh, you got a lot of traveling to do before you're going to be ready for what God wants. That's not God. That's God wants for you. God wants for you. But what if there's a David in the house? What if there's somebody that can have access to God by prayer and by praise? And that's what David was. He wrote the prayer book and the praise book for Israel. And it brought a little boy into places that were beyond his reach and gave him power. My God, this church is just a little dot. This church is not very big, not very old, and not very strong. But what if it became a church like David? What if it became so powerful in prayer and in praise that it had access to God's time zone? My God, when you break into God's time zone, anything is possible. I said anything is possible. Lay down the rule book, anything can break loose. Whoa! Somebody that believes that, go ahead and shout about it a little bit right now. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Life may say no. People may say no. The devil may say no. But God lives in his own time zone. Give your neighbor a high five and tell him God has his own time zone. Amazing things happen there. If Solomon was telling you about his dad, he would say, do you know that he should have died when he committed adultery? When David got involved with Bathsheba, the Bible just simply said, if you commit adultery, you die. You take them out, you stone them. That's the process. That's the timeline. That's how it works. And I don't know exactly when it happened. We think it might have happened in Psalms 51. If you've never read Psalms 51, it's one of the most amazing prayers of repentance in all the Word of God. And David got a dispensation of New Testament grace. Now, you know, you mentioned David didn't have the Holy Ghost. I don't know, because the prophets all had the Holy Ghost. And David was a prophet. I read his prophecies, and Peter said that he was a prophet. Praise God. But David should have died, and Nathan should have had them take him out. Nathan was the one that told him, you are the man. And should have dragged him out in the whole city, should have stoned him outside the city. But David got on his face, and he said, God, he said, if you'll purge me, I'll be white as wool. If you'll clean me, I'll be whiter than snow. Now, he was talking about something that was going to happen in the dispensation of the church. But David was already tapped into that. Somehow, he had a feel for it. Somehow, he was living above his time zone. And he had tapped into God's time zone. And something became available for him that you don't find anywhere else in the scripture. This is not just about David. This is about anybody and the anointing of God. This is about anybody and the anointing of God. This is about anybody. Praise God. Praise God. We could hop on a flight tonight and we could run across the international dateline and not only do the times change, But the day changes. You can lose a day one way and gain a day the other way. And it's just kind of funny how that works. You can upset your circadian rhythm and be 12 hours off from Birmingham time. And you're living in a totally different time zone. But I want to suggest to you tonight that God lives in his own time zone. And you can catch a flight of prayer or praise or consecration or determination in the Holy Ghost tonight. And there was a little boy named David who had a special dispensation before his time. Praise God. Praise God. Gifts of the Spirit. Anointing and revelation and prayer. People getting the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now we see a lot of people get the Holy Ghost, but I'm just telling you, you ain't seen nothing yet. We see a lot of people baptized, but I'm just telling you, one night we're gonna baptize them all night long. One night we're gonna have a whole church come in and we'll baptize them all night long. Woo! My God. Holy Ghost. I don't know if David had just got to talking about his dad or what might have happened to him, but you get down to that 11th chapter of Ecclesiastes and Solomon begins to sound a little bit different. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 1, he throws off his restraint. Something begins to rise up in him. He's not totally gone. There's a little vestige of David left in the man. Cast your bread upon the... Somebody tell your neighbor, cast your bread upon the waters. You'll find it after many days. He's talking about trusting God. He's talking about taking what you have and doing something that's not rational, something that's not normal among men, something that jeopardizes you in a natural sense but liberates you in terms of your relationship with God. Take your bread, cast it upon the waters. Give a portion to seven, also to eight, for you don't know what evil shall be upon the earth. Be a blessing to everybody around you. And he said, if the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves toward the earth. If a tree falls toward the south or toward the north in the place where the tree falls, that there shall it be. And what he's now doing, he's using the natural process and the natural systems. He's telling you these are emphatic truths about natural processes. And what he's doing, he's putting that in context of your spiritual activity. He said, you cast that bread, you bless people all around you, and just as sure as the rain falls out of a full cloud, and just as sure as that tree falls, there is a principle in the spirit that the blessings and the power of God are going to come down on your life if you will just abandon that natural limitation just for a little while. Verse 4, if you observe the wind, you won't sow. If you think about all the reasons why it can't happen, you're not going to plant anything. You're just going to hold it close to the vest. You're going to be conservative about it. He said, don't think about the clouds. Just go ahead and let this thing go in the Holy Ghost. He that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. If you look at all the natural reasons why it can't be, it won't ever be in your life. But my God, it's a day to begin to look at what God can do. God is not limited by your limitations. God's not limited by natural process. God can suspend it all if somebody will get in God's time zone. My God, I want to stand in his time zone. I want to live in his time zone. You don't know, verse 5, the way of the spirit, nor how the bones grow in the womb. Listen, God's miracle is all around you. Don't let the limitations of natural process preach a message of faithlessness to you. God's miracle is all around you. In every ray of sunshine, in every brand new morning, in every bird that sings in it, in every landscape that he paints with every sunset, in every flower that blossoms, in every blade of grass that springs up, in every star that's looking down on your house right now, even though you don't see it, it's shining down on you. And backwards in time, it was looking on Abraham. My God, the miracle of God is all around you right now, but you live in such a finite little bubble of process and time. It's so hard sometimes to see what God can do. Tell your neighbor, God lives in his own time zone. Tell him in verse 6, tell him, in the morning sow your seed. In the evening withhold not thy hand. Because you don't know whither shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. My God, we don't know what's going to happen. Tell, witness to everybody you see. Pray for everybody that asks you. Be an alarm in your city, in your school, on your job, for the kingdom of God. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus walks by a fig tree. He saw leaves on it and they were hungry. And he walks by the fig tree and he doesn't find any figs on it. And he said, you're cursed. No man's going to ever eat off of you again. And on down in that chapter, after he cleans out the temple, and I think the fig tree is probably a prophetic object lesson, when they walk back out of him cleansing the temple, Peter sees the fig tree and says, the fig tree that you cursed, it's all withered up. It's all withered up. You know, that fig tree had leaves on it. It didn't have any fruit on it. But the Bible clearly says it wasn't time for fruit. It wasn't the right season. This is unreasonable. I mean, God's coming by and I'm like, I need to have some fruit here. It's not time yet. This takes time, God. Figs. You mean God would demand of me that I produce? I can hear the apostle saying, Timothy, you're going to be a preacher? He said, be instant. In season and out of season. When it's time for it and it's not time. It's before time or it's past time. You just never know what God's going to do. So my attitude's got to be, I'm ready. I'm ready. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm ready. Tell you, say, when God's ready, I'm ready. When God's ready for revival, I'm ready for revival. When God's ready for an outpouring, I'm ready for an outpouring. You know what he told his disciples? He said, don't you say yet 4 months and then the harvest, but lift up your eyes. Get your eyes up off of what's troubling you. Get your eyes up off your little project and begin to look on my project. He said, the fields are white already to harvest. Shake your neighbor and say, it's harvest time. No, shake somebody and say, it's harvest time. God's ready for fruit. We're in the vineyard of God. It's time to bear some fruit. Look, I love this church. You're doing a great job. You're fun to pastor. I love it. You pray. You worship. You seek God. You're faithful to the house of God. You're faithful in your giving. This is a wonderful place. There's pastors all over this country would give their left arm to be able to come in and pass and be a one-armed pastor in this church. You don't think so? You let me drop dead in this pulpit. There'll be a line of people at the door. I feel the will of God is that I. Woo! Yeah. It's good. It's great. It's wonderful. Now we had a big group hug. Guess what? We don't have much time. It's time to step up. It's time to reach a little further. It's time to. My God, are you ready? Are you ready to bear fruit in season, out of season? Are you ready to have to park down the street? Are you ready to have to give up your seat? Are you ready to have to stand along the walls? The fields are white already to harvest. Woo! I don't have much voice. I can't woo very much. Somebody woo for me. Yeah, do that again. Oh, you may not understand that. That's what the old timers do. That's what those old sisters in the prayer room do. Woo! No, really, you ought to try that. Some of you young ladies, if I told you now, this is what old sister Elmina Parker used to do. Woo! You would think, well, now really, Brother Sutton, I'm trying to catch me a guy. And, you know, it may not be time for me to be like Sister Elmina. But see, it is time. It is time. Because when you plug into that, you're plugging into God's time zone. And God's going to take care of everything. I need some young people that'll go, whoa! I need some young people that'll plug in. My God, faithful to the house of God, faithful to prayer, faithful to worship. Come unglued in your approach to God. Now, I'm just going to tell you, Solomon was proper. Solomon was wise. He'll tell you, I'm the wisest man in the world. He had 700 wives. Now, that is the punchline. God, this wisdom is too wonderful for me. Pass me by. I got one. And that's all I need. I didn't have to marry her pagan gods. But Solomon was brilliant, wise, wisest man in the world. And he wrote instructional proverbs, which are good. We've been working on them for a while. And they are affirmed by the law course that Brother Terrell is taking. So, you know, it's got to be good. God is affirmed by a lawyer. God's just going, man, oh, you know how good that makes me feel. Solomon wrote an instructional manual. And it's good, and it's rich, and we love it. It's the word of God. But David sang psalms. And David wrote prayers. And David walked in places where he didn't have any business or qualification or credential to go. The only credential he had, if the angel was there with a sword, David just said, I'm in God's time zone. I got a credential that I got in prayer. I got a credential that I got. He's eating the showbread and the priest wants to know about it, but David has access. Solomon never would have that. You can't get there cerebrally. You can't get there intellectually. You can't get there by the wisdom that Solomon was dealing with. Somewhere you got to find a portal into the Spirit. That typically comes praise, prayer, talking in tongues, shouting, shaking, losing all your dignity and forgetting where you are. It's a good sign you might be morphing into God's time zone when you just completely forget where you are and what time it is. You know, I hear about services where they just fall out and stay till midnight. We hadn't had one like that. You can't make that happen. Now, some of you see, these kids are going, woo, woo. None of these adults are. They're like, 12 o'clock, you got to be kidding, son. Listen, I got the Holy Ghost. I got the minimal requirements here. Don't be fooling with me about midnight. You know, when you're really having fun, though, we had a group at the marriage retreat, stayed up to 2:30 in the morning playing Rook. And we got complaints about all the noise they were making, Sister D. Did you win? Uh-huh. But you were having fun, right? You didn't care where you were, huh? You know that happens in the Holy Ghost? I said that'll happen in the Holy Ghost. You get to shout. You get to dancing. You'll get up in an area in the Holy Ghost, and you won't want to come back. Somebody, I had to pick you up, put you in the car, and carry you home. Praise God. Praise God. Tell your neighbor, I want to live in God's time zone. Matthew chapter 15, the little woman of Canaan came to Jesus. My daughter's vexed of a devil. He wouldn't even talk to her. He said, it's not meet for me to give the bread of the children to dogs. He was talking to a Gentile. And it wasn't time. You know, Jesus was going to make a way for the Gentile church, but it wasn't time. She was in the wrong dispensation. You see, the church age doesn't start until after the Gospels. People weren't saved in the New Testament era until after the Gospels. You got to go to Acts chapter 2 to find people getting saved in the church age. This little Canaanite woman was a Gentile, and she came to Jesus. My daughter's vexed of a devil. I need some help. The disciples said, she won't go away. Make her go away. He said, it's not good. I can't give the children's bread unto dogs. But she got him. She caught him. She caught him right where he's weakest. She caught him where he's the most sensitive. She said, yay, Lord. She didn't dispute she's a dog or anything else. She said, yay, Lord, but even the dogs get the crumbs off the master's table. He said, I hadn't found this kind of faith. My God, he gave her exactly what she needed in that hour. Her daughter was delivered. It wasn't time. It was dispensationally wrong. But she made her way into God's time zone. She made by force her way into something that was not hers. Now, I'll just tell you, I believe it's possible to press into God and get some stuff that God's not going to uncork until the millennial. If David got church stuff and the seraphim, the little Canaanite woman got church stuff, can the church get something? Praise God. Yeah, I think so. I think so. Matthew chapter 8, the centurion says, my servant needs healing. This guy's a Gentile. He's not right. He doesn't have the credentials nor the qualifications to receive from God. And God said, Jesus said, I'll go with you. And he said, no, I'm not worthy. You can't come to my house. But you just speak the word. I'm a man under authority. You're a man with authority. You speak the word. And my servant, Jesus said, oh, I've been all over Israel. I hadn't found faith like this. And a man who is outside the covenant got something by faith from God, and he walked into a totally different time zone. It wasn't available to him yet, but he got it because he probed into where God was by faith. Somebody say, praise the Lord. The teaching on prayer in Luke chapter 11, the man comes to the door, and that's a teaching on prayer. So you're the guy at the door, and you're knocking. The one on the inside that says, go away. We're all asleep. The children are down for the night. That man inside is God, because this is a teaching on prayer. That 11th chapter begins, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples to pray. So he gave them the Lord's Prayer. Then he gave them this knocking on the door prayer. And then he gave them the prayer about the Holy Ghost, ask, seek, and knock. But on this knocking on the door prayer, he said, the one inside who is God said, go away. We're all down for the night, or it's not time yet. It's not time. This is not a good time. This is not a good time. But he said he kept on knocking, and he wouldn't go away. And the one inside who is representative of God got up, and I don't know if he's aggravated or what, but he gave him everything that he needed for importunity's sake. You know what he just did? He changed God's schedule. He changed God's time. He got God to do something that God wasn't ready to turn loose of yet, and he did it by persistence and by pressing in prayer. The parallel for that is Luke chapter 18, the little widow woman and the unjust judge. She gets the same treatment. She doesn't get an answer. She keeps coming, and Jesus said, listen to what the dialogue is between the little woman and the unjust judge. He's teaching on prayer. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can get something that it's not time for you to have by plugging into prayer and praise. I want to know, does anybody in this house need something tonight? There anybody here that needs God to move, needs God in your house, needs some anointing, needs some provision, needs a door to open up in your life, needs a healing in your body? You want to be used of the gifts of God. You want healing in your hands. You want an anointing in your witness. My God, if you need something from God, you can move into God's time zone and get it right now. No, you don't understand me. Help me, Lindsay. You can get it right now. You were testifying the other night about the man at the pool, and he's crippled, and he's been crippled, and Jesus comes, and Jesus wants to heal him, but the guy says there's an angel that comes down at a season. Everybody say at a season. And he troubles the water, and then the first one into the water gets his healing. There is no biblical dispute of that. It seems to be that that's the case. And that actually happens at a season. An angel stirs that water and somebody gets healed. Now, whether that's mythology among the Jews or whether that's a fact, it's hard to discern. But the Bible doesn't dispute it. Praise God. But Jesus just asked him a question. And the water's not moving. Jesus said, would you be made whole? Do you want it? And what he meant was, do you want it now? Would you like to have it now? It's not season. It's not time. But I'm telling you, you can have it right now. You can have an anointing right now. You can get your healing right now. I want somebody that needs healing in your body to come down to this altar right now. You can have something right now. I want somebody that believes that God will use you in the gifts. You come pray with these right now. Come lay your hand on them. Talk in tongues. Move into the portal. Come get on these steps. Get in front of them. I need somebody that believes God. Stand on these steps. Get in front of them. Lay your hands on them right now. If you'd like to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I want you to come meet me over here in this corner. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Get ready for revival.
Revival.
Yeah. Open up your neck. Get ready for a catch.
Ready for a catch.
Get ready for revival. First you must believe. Then you will receive. Get ready for revival. Open up your neck. Get ready for a catch.
Somebody that wants the Holy Ghost. Somebody that wants your life changed. Come meet me over here. I'll pray for you.